Welcome to the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. Vintage Church is a multi-church, multi-city movement of truth, love, and community. For information, visit vintagechurchmovement.com. Here is this week's message.
Hey, good morning. Welcome again to Vintage Church. If I've never met you before, my name's Dustin Turner. I serve as the lead pastor of Vintage Church. Welcome if you're watching online as well. Can we welcome again those streaming with us this morning? Many of you might not realize that, but probably in the last like year and a half, we haven't been streaming. Everything that you see online, we have pre-recorded. And so in one sense, we're very thankful to be streaming again because that means I don't have to preach a sermon in the middle of the week and then preach again on the weekend, and you get kind of live action of what we're doing here in the room. And so I am excited to be here. I'm excited that we're kind of getting back to normal a little bit. How many of you feel like things are slowly moving to normalcy? Not many of you. Okay, wow. I'm trying. I think it's like a mental game for me, right? That I'm just like, we are getting back to normal. Things are becoming more normal. Yesterday, we were out in St. Rose, and I used the chainsaw for a little while, so I woke up, and my back is killing me. And I'm like, is this what it means to get old when your lower back hurts? One of the things that I'm excited about today is to get back into our series phase. We kicked this series off probably just over a month ago, and we were looking at the book of Haggai and really looking at what this Old Testament prophet can tell us about where we are at in our world in this phase of life. And listen, if it's not appropriate then, it's definitely appropriate now. What's our new normal? If you're new to this book, let me give you just a little bit of a recap so you kind of understand what's going on. The people of Israel, because of their sin, were sent into captivity, into Babylon. The Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And then King Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, sent a small remnant of Israelites back to a small region surrounding Jerusalem to basically rebuild their community. So they got back into the land, a small group in a small place, and they started to rebuild. They rebuilt the altar where they made sacrifices. They rebuilt the foundation of the temple where God's presence dwelt and where they would go to worship. But then they met opposition. And the foundation was all that was there for 20 years. So you have these prophets like Zechariah and the book we've been reading, Haggai, who come on the scene and deliver a word from the Lord saying, listen, you started this work. It's time to finish it. It's time to get back to doing what you know is most important, to reprioritize what is most significant. And that's where we are at. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Haggai chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 10 through 19. And what we're going to be talking about today, if you've been in the church for any amount of time, is a concept that you might be familiar with, but in our world, it's honestly something that's foreign to us. How many of you had to boil your water right after the hurricane? Anybody? I was listening to the radio maybe like 2 weeks ago, and I was listening to WWL, and Scott Walker, who's one of the Jefferson Parish council members, was on, and they were talking about the water boil advisory. And one of the things that they were talking about was the fact that there was a water boil advisory because so many trees had been literally ripped out of the ground, which in turn broke pipes. Right? So the water pressure drops because now water is coming out of the pipes. And if water's coming out of the pipes, then what does that also mean? Potentially other things are coming into the pipes, making issues and making your water unclean to drink, unsafe to drink. So he talked about the need to boil water to make sure that you have clean water that you can drink, that you can bathe with, that you can cook with, right? We do that. Now, some of us probably didn't and said, forget it, I'm not boiling my water, right? But you're supposed to boil your water so that you will purify or cleanse your water, that it will then be safe to drink. That's a concept in our world, purity or purification, that when it comes to stuff, we understand, but when it comes to us, we forget about. Another word for purity is holiness. And as you come to the back end of Haggai in chapter 2, you begin to read about purity, about holiness. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Here's what I want you to get today. Our positional holiness leads to practical holiness. What is practical holiness? Repentance and obedience. Our positional holiness, and we're going to talk about what that means, leads to practical holiness, which is repentance and obedience. So let's look at Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. Here's what it says. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. I told you, right? This is a very different context from our world. Verse 14, then Haggai answered and said, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands. And what they offer there is unclean. Verse 15, now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing. Look at the end of this verse. But from this day, I will bless you. It's the word of the Lord. Now, let me give you a little bit of context to know what's happening in these few verses, okay? This is the third message that God has sent to Haggai the prophet to speak to the people of Israel. It happens somewhere around December 18th, 520 BC. And in order to understand what's going on, and you've probably already picked up this a little bit, there is this idea about blessings and curses and ritual purity. And to understand blessings, curses, ritual purity, you have to understand the context of the covenant. The covenant is the relational agreement that the God of the universe, the God of Israel, Yahweh, has made with the people of Israel. And the blessings and curses are based on obedience and disobedience. If you obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, you will be cursed. All of this is not about earning love or earning salvation. It's about maintaining your relationship with God. That's what the Old Testament and the people of Israel were to do. And tied to that is this idea of purity, not just moral purity, but also ritual purity. It's tied to the temple, and it's tied to sacrifices, and it's tied to the priesthood. So you have to understand all of that to get where we're going in this passage. So, first idea that I want you to recognize is this. Consider your current holiness. Consider your current holiness. Look at what he says. I want to skip to verse 15 in the beginning of 16 again to see what we're talking about when we say consider your current holiness. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? Again, remember what's happened, right? 20 years prior, they laid the foundation of the temple, but that was it. There was nothing else done to the temple. Earlier in the book of Haggai, in chapter 1, what we read about is that God calls the people to begin to rebuild the temple, to do it, and they actually do it. So they begin to rebuild the temple. What God is getting at in these two verses is to say, before you began to rebuild the temple, how were things for you? The answer is, not very good, right? They were doing all of the right things. They were planting their gardens. They were trying to harvest. They were trying to have money. They were losing everything. God wasn't blessing them because they were not obeying him. And again, at the core of this idea of holiness, particularly in this passage, is this idea of ritual purity. In the Old Testament, Israel was not only to be spiritually or morally pure, they were to be physically pure. And the reason is because God himself is holy. I know many of you often, when you're reading your Bible, love to read the book of Leviticus for devotional literature, right? You read it and it warms your heart and you're like, I love God more because I'm reading about what sacrifices I can bring to him, right? I get that. But in the Old Testament, what we see that's affirmed in the New Testament is that God is holy, meaning two things: that number one, he's totally separate from creation. That yes, God is omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's here, he's in our midst. If you know Jesus, he's in you, but at the same time, he is everywhere. Nobody else is omnipresent. Nobody else is also totally distinct from creation. And at the same time, he is absolutely pure and good. There is not any part of God that is tainted with sin or the effects of sin. And that's where ritual purity becomes so important in the Old Testament. Is it wrong to have mold or mildew in your house? Well, yes, right? We don't want that. I mean, I get that, right? But there's nothing like illegal about it, right? Actually, there might be. I don't know. Now I'm realizing that. I don't know if that's illegal or not. Anyways, you don't want it. It's not good for you, right? But the point about sickness or mold or mildew or any of these like impurities is that they are the result of what? Sin. So the reason that physical impurity is a problem is because if you trace its origins back, it's ultimately connected to sin. And God is what? He's not sinful. He's pure. He's holy. One way to think about this, I was reading this week, our V Group discussion for this week, Jordan Hill, who's one of our Vintage partners, wrote it, and he used a great illustration, because we don't get the temple and ritual purity and all of these sorts of things, but if you're going to have a surgery, and you go into the operating room, do you want the operating room to be clean? Like, really clean, right? I hate going to hospitals because of the way they smell. But they smell what? Like, too clean. And the reason that you want a hospital room and the people operating on you to be clean is why? Because you don't want germs and you don't want infections. That's the same way that you and I, that we need to think about holiness and physical cleanliness and purity. So all of that gets us to the question that Haggai asks the priests. You might have been reading those passages talking about, you know, if someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches his fold with bread or stew or wine or oil, and you're like, I've never done that, and I don't think that's ever going to happen to me, right? The point is getting at holiness. And basically, Haggai asks the priest, including the high priest at the time, Joshua, these two questions. Number one, how contagious is holiness? And the answer to that question is, it's not. But then Haggai asks, how contagious is sin? And the priest says, it is. So you have holiness and you have sin, and the reality is the holiness of God in us is not contagious, but our sin is contagious in that it affects our relationship with God and His presence in our midst and with us. I mean, think about, we're all familiar with, and according to social media, we're all epidemiologistic experts, right? Think about the coronavirus. That was supposed to be funny, too, by the way. I don't know if that was. The Delta variant is far more contagious than the original strain of the coronavirus, right? I mean, that's like scientifically proven. And that's what Haggai and that's what God is getting at, is that our sin is far more contagious than our holiness. Which leads Haggai to say this in verse 14. Haggai answered and said, so is it with this people and with the nation, with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands. What they offer there is what? Everybody say it. Unclean. It's not holy. Now here's the interesting thing about Haggai, is that in this portion of Scripture, what the prophet is doing is he's using ritual purity to not talk about ritual purity. This verse, go back to verse 14. Verse 14, does this have anything to do with ritual purity? The answer is no, right? It's about what they do, every work of their hands, what they offer. The fact that they had not rebuilt the temple prior to Haggai and Zechariah coming on the scene. See, the issue is not with ritual purity. The issue is with actual holiness. The fact that the people of Israel, those who were the remnant, were failing to obey what God had told them to obey. Look at verse 17. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. The people of Israel refused to obey God, and when He punished them, they did not repent. One of the toughest things as a parent is when I punish my kids and they don't relent. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I'm thinking, you know, if I strike the fear of God in them, then they will turn from their wicked ways. And then my daughter Emily just becomes all the more obstinate. And I'm like, what do I do now, God, right? This is what happened with the people of Israel. God said, listen, you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. You're disobeying me. And because you have disobeyed me, I am going to punish you. But after punishing you, you did not turn to me. So here's the ultimate question for us. What about your current holiness? What about you? What about me? Now, it's important to understand that when we talk about holiness, what we're really talking about is two different things. Number one, we're talking about a positional holiness, which is holy in status. And then we're talking about a practical or a progressive holiness, which is holiness or being holy in conduct. So the two differences, this is a really important. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith and trust and follow Jesus, then in status you are holy. Why? Because in your sin, Jesus went to the cross. And when He went to the cross and He died for the sins of humanity. When you placed your faith and trust and were baptized in Him, your sin went on Christ. And guess what? Jesus, who is God, if God is holy, then what is Jesus? The answer is holy. His holiness went to you. And so when God looks upon you, despite the fact that you are literally sinful, he no longer sees your sin. He sees what? Jesus' holiness. That's holy in status. But the thing about the Christian life is we should not just rest in our status in Jesus, but our status in Jesus should propel us to pursue holiness, where we're not just looked upon as holy by God, but literally over time, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, we are literally becoming holy. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, transforming us into the image of Jesus. And for both of these holinesses, and this is so important for you and I to recognize, is that we will never be the source of our holiness. You need to remind yourself of that. You will never be the source of your holiness. As much as you want to read that self-help book, try to figure it out on your own, roll your sleeves up, you will never be able to make yourself holy. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a part to play in it. But it's the presence of God, it's the Spirit of God living in you and dwelling in you that is transforming you through the actions in your life. It's not a part of us. It comes from without us. In Ephesians 2, I think this is part of what the Apostle Paul is speaking about regarding holiness. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were what? Dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature, what? Children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4. Before we go to verse 4, did you notice in verses 1 through 3, was it past tense, present tense, or future tense? I've confused some of you already. What are tenses? There you go. Oh, Leo gets it. It's past tense. So what is Paul saying? This is where you what? Not where you're in, not what you're in, not where you're going, but where you came from, where you were. Now look at verse 4. But God, not you, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, what did he do? Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he did what? Made us what? Alive, together with whom? Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by what? Grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And this is not your own doing. It is what? The gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verses 4 through 9 remind us of this positional holiness, right? That this is a status that we have received in Christ, that God in Christ has made us alive together with Christ. But then look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Means we do it. We live it out, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk or live out them. See, in verses 1 through 10 of Ephesians 2, Paul is carrying on what God has said through the prophet Haggai about our holiness. That number one, holiness matters. Holiness matters because God is holy. But number two, the only way for you and I to be holy is to recognize that Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is God Himself, came to earth, put on flesh, lived a perfect sinless life, went to the cross, died for our sins, rose from the grave, defeating sin, death, and hell, that we might become what? Holy. That when we repent, we have to repent. We're going to talk about repentance. Why do we have to repent? Because God is holy, we are sinful. We have to recognize that there is a difference between sinfulness and holiness. Two concepts, by the way, that our world doesn't want to talk about. So we repent, and then we look to Jesus on the cross, His death and His resurrection, to say that that is what can save us. Nothing else. And then we publicly confess our repentance and our faith in Jesus by going under the water, being baptized, going under the water, being buried with Jesus, and coming up out of the water, being raised with Jesus. That is the gospel message, and that is how the gospel message relates and connects to holiness. Here's the incredible thing for me as I've studied this passage. What did we say? Sin is contagious. Holiness is what? Not. But in Ephesians 2, catch what Paul tells us. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus' holiness can be contagious. We couldn't catch holiness in the Old Testament, but in Jesus, we can become holy. So the challenge for those of us outside of Jesus is, will you trust in Jesus? Will you repent? Will you believe? Will you be baptized? So you have to consider your current holiness, but this entire passage in Haggai 2 ends with this challenge. Consider your future holiness. Consider your future holiness. Look at verses 18 through 19. Consider from this day onward, that from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing. That sounds terribly bad, right? God is saying, these things haven't happened yet. But look at what He says at the end. But from this day on, I will bless you. You didn't obey. You didn't rebuild the temple. But you've started. The fruit of your obedience isn't seen yet, but trust me that I will do what? I will bless you. Everything is tied to the reality that Israel has repented. They've turned away from not doing what they were supposed to do. They've obeyed. They've begun to rebuild the temple. And because of their repentance and their obedience, Israel has been blessed by God. So the question for us is, what about our future holiness? What I'm talking about here is not our positional holiness, what we just talked about in Christ. What I'm talking about is that practical or that progressive holiness, the things that we are doing in the power of the Spirit of God to transform us into the image of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Your future holiness is dependent upon your next decision. I know that might sound, you know, too significant or too, wow, that's like in my face, Dustin. But literally, our holiness is based on the next decision that we will make and the next decision after that and the next decision after that. Look at what Peter, the Apostle Peter, says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. He says what? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, meaning the sins that you were so enslaved to before Jesus. But as He who called you is holy, who's He? Jesus, God. You also be what? holy in all of your conduct. Verse 16, since it is written, he's quoting the Old Testament, you shall be holy. Why? For I am holy. See, our holiness, what God is calling us to, that practical, progressive holiness, it's dependent upon God and our relationship with Him. We've already said this. You cannot become actually holy without your position in Christ, meaning you become holy in Jesus. But then every single thing in action and decision we make is following from, flowing from our relationship with Jesus. So we then repent and obey from our relationship with God. We make a decision that we want to live for God. And because we want to live for God, we are going to repent of our sins and obey Him to become like Him. Because we want to be with Him. When we think about repentance and we think about obedience, I think it's important to understand what we're talking about, especially in light of repentance, because we don't talk about this all that often in our culture. So what do you need to repent from? When you think about repentance, I want you to think that repentance has three things, three elements to it. Number one, there's an intellectual part to repentance. You have to understand God's holiness and your sin. You simply have to understand and believe that God is in fact holy and that you are in fact sinful. But number two, there's an emotional part. The emotional part is because of what you know, you should experience godly sorrow and grief that your holiness does not match God's holiness. Now, some of us get that far, but we miss the last part, the volitional part, where you then, in fact, have to forsake sin and change your life. Repentance involves all three of these. Understanding it, feeling it, and doing it. So what in your life do you need to repent from? But number two, what do you need to obey? What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? And at the same time, what are you not doing that you should be doing? This is what it means to obey. That you don't do the things you shouldn't be doing, that you shouldn't be doing, and you do the things that you should be doing. You're not doing these things as a reminder to earn God's love. You're not doing these things because God is going to smite you. You do them because what? God loves you. And you what? Love God. Therefore, you want to obey Him. We repent and we obey. Will you repent and obey? I want you to think back to what I shared at the beginning about the water and the boil water advisory. And how many of you at home have some sort of filter that you filter all your water through, whether it's on your tap or whether you have a Brita filter? How many of you have that? Now, here's a better question. When was the last time you changed the filter? Right? I don't know about you, but my Brita filter has been blinking red at me for like 6 months. But I just have to believe that it's still doing something, right? See, the thing is, yes, we want clean, pure water. And thankfully, in the places that we live, there's water treatment facilities and there's pipes that most of the time that work and pumps that most of the time work, and that water's getting cleaned and filtrated. But then we put that water through a filtration system at our home. And That's what I want you to understand and think about as we think about holiness. Is that, yes, if you're in Jesus, Jesus has made you holy, but now it's time to put your life through its filtration system and begin actually filtering and making your life pure and holy. One of the things that I've recently begun to do, because I'm a glutton for punishment, is I'm auditing a class at the seminary, right? I've given them a lot of my money. I've earned a lot of degrees because I've spent a lot of my time. But I'm like, listen, I'm not done learning. I want to keep learning. So I'm taking this class on the Trinity. And boy, I've got some things to share with you guys when we're done, right? It's going to be exciting. But one of the things that has struck me in this class is not all of the intellectual and all of the challenging things about understanding the Trinity. It's really about my devotional life and your devotional life before God. And I want you to see this. It's something that I think I'm in the process of still connecting together. I think for many of us, we struggle to really grapple and wrestle and wrap our minds and our hearts around this idea of holiness, because just naturally we're sinful at heart. And it's like, yeah, I want to be holy, but man, I really want this, or I still want this in my life. And we fail to see the significance of our holiness. And recently, I was reminded of one of Jesus' Beatitudes. Matthew 5:8. It's on the screen if you want to look at it. And I want you to see what Jesus tells his followers. What he says. He says this: blessed are the what? Everybody say it. Pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. See, when we think about holiness, what we think about is like, gosh, man, why does God got to be so, like, tough on me? Why does God got to give me all of these rules and all of these things to do and all of these things to follow? Why can't I just live the way that I want to live? And what Jesus reminds us is that there's an end to purity and holiness. How many of you want to go to heaven? Yeah. The point in heaven is not eternal life. You know that, right? Like, if it's just eternal life, it's not worth it. But if it's eternal life with whom? God. It's worth it. The end of purity and the end of holiness is seeing God. Every single one of you that just raised your hand and say, I want to go to heaven. What you are saying is, I want to see God. And Jesus says, who will see God? This is why holiness matters. This is why purity matters. Because if you want to see God, if you want the life that God wants you to have, and by the way, has enabled you to have, your holiness matters. My holiness matters. What people see, and by the way, what people don't see, it matters. Because the pure in heart, they are the ones who will see God. My prayer. prayer is that for those of us who are separated from God, those of us who do not know Jesus, that we would trust in Jesus. You can't have God, you can't see God without having Jesus. So my prayer for you is, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, that today you would repent, believe, and get ready to be baptized. But for those of us who know Jesus, for those of us who are united with God, united in Christ, my prayer is that we would reflect on our sinfulness and God's holiness, and we would repent and obey. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to repent. He wants us to obey because he loves us. And just as we sang, because he is a good, good father, guess what? He knows what's best for us. Our holiness is what's best for us. Will you make the changes? Father, we love you. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. His life, death, resurrection. God, that we would have your holiness. God, that we would not just be declared holy, but God, at the same time, that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, empower us to then actually become holy. For those of us, God, in this room and online that don't know you, may we take that next step, repent and believe and be baptized. For those of us who know you, Father, may we be obedient to you, may we repent of our sin, and wait, may we pursue holiness because we want to see you. We love you, Father. We thank you that you love us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.